Good morning, and welcome to Simply Economics. It's Wednesday, April 17th. On today's show, an unexpected surge in retail sales challenges economic forecasts, while Muir moves to the economics beat at FT. Plus, an economic boom is being felt throughout Santa Cruz County. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics. We start off with some surprising economic news. Retail sales surged unexpectedly in March, defying forecasts and signaling resilience in the face of inflation and geopolitical tensions. The surprising jump in consumer spending is prompting a reevaluation of the economic outlook for the coming months. Here with more details is our Simply Economics correspondent, Bella. So what exactly did the retail sales numbers show?
The Census Bureau reported that retail sales climbed 0.7% in March, well above the Dow Jones forecast of just a 0.3% increase. This comes on the heels of an upward revision to February's sales figures as well, from 0.6% to 0.9%. The data paints a picture of a consumer base that remains surprisingly active and willing to spend despite inflationary pressures. It's a testament to the adaptability and strength of the retail sector.
And this jump in retail sales occurred against the backdrop of some concerning economic indicators, correct?
That's right. The Consumer Price Index rose 0.4% in March, according to the Labor Department, indicating that overall inflation is still quite sticky. Geopolitical tensions are elevated as well, particularly in the Middle East. But neither of those factors seemed to deter consumers last month. It's a bit of a paradox. The economy is flashing some warning signs, but Main Street appears fairly resilient.
So what impact is this having on the Treasury market and expectations for Federal Reserve policy?
The strong retail sales numbers triggered a sell-off in Treasuries, with the yield on the 10-year note spiking over 11 basis points to 4.612%, its highest level since mid-November. Bond yields move inversely to prices. So this reflects a recalibration by investors of the economic trajectory and the Fed's likely policy path. The market is now pricing in a potentially later start to Fed rate cuts, shifting from June to July or September, based on this evidence of economic resilience and sustained consumer spending.
It sounds like this retail sales report is prompting quite a rethink of a lot of economic assumptions that were held just a few weeks ago.
Without a doubt, many analysts had been anticipating an imminent slowdown, with the Fed coming to the rescue by the summer with interest rate cuts. But this data turns that narrative on its head. While there are still plenty of headwinds, the economy, and the consumer in particular, are proving quite resilient. The surge in retail spending is unambiguously good news in the near term, but it does suggest that the Fed may need to keep rates higher for longer to wrangle inflation. It's a fluid situation that markets and policymakers will be watching closely.
Thanks, Bella, for that insightful analysis of the latest retail sales figures and their implications for the economic outlook. In other news, we have some exciting updates to share today. Financial Times reporter Martha Muir has moved to the economics beat in Washington. Here with more details is our correspondent. So tell us, what was Muir covering before this move?
Before taking on the economics beat, Muir was covering personal finance and investment for the Financial Times. In that role, she reported on topics relevant to individuals managing their own money and investment portfolios.
And what about her journalism experience prior to the Financial Times?
Muir brings additional business reporting experience from her time at Trading Risk, a publication owned by Euromoney Institutional Investor PLC. There she focused on covering the specialized insurance-linked securities and reinsurance markets.
It sounds like Muir has also gained experience at some other major publications as well. Is that right?
Yes. Earlier in her career, Muir completed internships at both the Financial Times and another major UK newspaper, the Daily Mirror. So she has seen the inner workings of some of the most prestigious newsrooms.
And what can you tell us about her educational background?
Muir holds both a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from Durham University in England. Durham has a strong reputation, especially in fields like business and economics.
So with her combination of education and professional experience, it seems the Financial Times economics team in Washington is gaining a knowledgeable and seasoned reporter in Muir.
Absolutely. Muir's coverage of business, finance, and now economics should help the Financial Times continue to provide informative and insightful reporting on economic issues, trends, and policies coming out of the nation's capital.
Thanks for that update from our correspondent at Simply Economics. Shifting our focus to Arizona, an economic boom is being felt throughout Santa Cruz County. New data shows the Nogales Port of Entry is seeing a rise in commercial, pedestrian, and passenger vehicle traffic. The increase of people and goods coming across the border has city officials looking toward the future. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent at the border. What can you tell us about the scale of this economic activity?
The numbers are quite staggering, David. According to Josh Rubin, a board member on the Greater Nogales Port Authority, $32 billion worth of goods traveled through Nogales Port of Entries just last year. That represents a jump of over 10% from 2022. Rubin cites several factors driving this increase, including companies relocating from Asia to Mexico to be closer to U.S. markets, the current strength of the Mexican peso, and uncertainty in border towns in Texas that is pushing more traffic toward Arizona.
Those are some compelling reasons. Can you give us a sense of the volume of traffic moving through these ports of entry?
Absolutely. Rubin tells us that 10.2 million people crossed the border in Nogales in just 1 year. About 60 to 70% crossed through the DeConcini port of entry, with the rest going through Mariposa. From January to February 2024, Nogales has seen growth in all traffic modes at the ports, an increase Rubin doesn't believe is slowing down anytime soon.
With that level of activity, one would expect a big economic impact on Nogales itself. Is that what's happening?
Interestingly, not as much as you might think. Even though more people are crossing the border, Rubin says many are choosing to stay in Nogales, Sonora on the Mexican side to avoid long border crossing wait times when they need necessities like groceries and gas. So while traffic is up, Nogales on the U.S. side has become more of a pass-through city rather than a destination. Local officials are trying to figure out how to capture more of that economic activity. Part of the strategy involves bringing new businesses and companies to the area so that people will want to spend their money in Nogales.
It will be interesting to see how that plays out in the months ahead, as Nogales and Santa Cruz County look to harness this border activity to drive more local economic growth. Thank you for that report from the border. Shifting gears now to the financial sector, major U.S. banks have been cutting jobs in the first quarter as they grapple with economic uncertainty and the potential for interest rate cuts later this year. Over 5,000 positions were eliminated across the largest banks. Here to discuss the details is our Simply Economics correspondent. So what's driving these significant job reductions at the big banks?
There are a few key factors at play. First, banks are trying to control costs and improve efficiency in an uncertain economic environment. With the possibility of the Fed cutting rates, which could pressure bank profits, streamlining operations is a priority. Citigroup made the deepest cuts, shedding 2,000 jobs as part of a larger restructuring effort to boost profitability and reduce bureaucracy. The bank has cut 7,000 positions so far and plans to eliminate a total of 20,000 over the next 2 years.
And it wasn't just Citigroup making significant reductions. What about some of the other major players?
That's right. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and PNC Financial collectively cut another 2,000 jobs in Q1. Bank of America achieved this by not backfilling positions as employees departed. Over the past year, Buffet has let its headcount naturally decline by over 4,700. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley also made cuts, though on a smaller scale, 900 and nearly 400 respectively. Interestingly, JPMorgan Chase bucked the trend, adding over 2,000 employees in the quarter.
Diving a bit deeper into Goldman Sachs, this comes after a particularly tough year for the investment bank. Can you provide some additional context there?
2022 was an especially painful year for Goldman in terms of job cuts. The bank conducted more layoffs last year than at any point since the 2008 financial crisis. A major factor was the sharp slowdown in investment banking activity and deals. By May, investment banking fees were down 26% compared to a year earlier, putting significant pressure on the division. This prompted Goldman to enact multiple rounds of layoffs to right-size the business for the new environment.
As banks look to control expenses, what's the outlook going forward? Could we see this trend continue?
It really depends on how the economy evolves and what path the Fed takes with monetary policy. If growth slows significantly and rates are cut, banks may look to further streamline operations and headcount to protect profits. However, if the economy proves resilient and the Fed stays on hold or even resumes hiking, the cost-cutting impetus may diminish. Banks will have to carefully balance efficiency with the need to invest in talent and technology to drive future growth. But after an era of low rates and expansion, a period of right-sizing and a renewed focus on productivity seems to be upon us.
It's certainly a delicate balance for the industry to strike in this uncertain macro environment. Thanks for the insights and analysis. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics. We'll see you back here tomorrow.